Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Jeff Parles of ESPN Las Vegas will join us. We will go over college hoops, get his thoughts, maybe a little baseball, but it will be mostly college hoops, and it will be a lot of college hoops the next couple weeks. And before you know it, and I can't stand the fact that the NCAA tournament and Major League Baseball, really from Major League Baseball standpoint, the tournament's been what it was in terms of the schedule for a while, that baseball chooses to go head-to-head with it and start in a couple weeks, but baseball will be back soon. I'll get to my thoughts. I do have some thoughts on the I'll just get to it now before I get to college hoops. I tried to watch some of the World Baseball Classic. I've checked the scores. Our guy Caminero is doing well, just killing the ball. He's down to the third favorite to win, so I mentioned him, I believe, last week doing the show. Soto is also, you know, he had a home run. I think he's got homers in both games, and he's his number has moved down, so the Dominican doing well, the team we're rooting for. But the problem with this event, there's not enough competition. You got these games where the U.S. is favored by 9.5 runs. The Dominican on Sunday is favored by 7 runs. This isn't baseball. I mean, might as well have the U.S. team play a T-ball team. I mean, what are we doing? You just have too many teams. If you have this many spreads of 9.5, 7.5, 7, all these crazy spreads, you just have too many teams. It's not a level playing field. Yeah, maybe the games will have some juice when you get to the knockout round, semifinals. You know, if you got U.S. versus Dominican, that would be fun, or U.S. versus Japan. Yeah, all right. I mean, I'll watch it. I'll get into. I don't know how much, outside of bets, I'm not sure how much I would care. It's just early for baseball, and we're all trained and programmed to care about certain sports at certain times. But there's just not enough competition. It's too lopsided. And the people that love the World Baseball Classic have to tell you how much they love it. And if you don't love it, you're wrong. And it means so much. And it's a bet. You know, it is a little over the top. But we'll see. Rooting for the Dominican, obviously. And we'll see if our guy Caminero here can get us home. That would be a nice one to get home, especially after Charleston Southern, which I talked about all week last week. 30-1, and they're getting 4.5 on Friday. I'm sure you saw it by now. One of the worst beats you will ever see. Catching 4.5, it actually closed a little higher because the conference player of the year for Winthrop was in. Up 7, 29 seconds left. They not only lose the game, which is unimaginable, they lose it by 5, and they lose it by 5 in regulation. Turnover 3, turnover layup and 1, another turnover and a layup, and then they just started chasing points, including they're down 3 with the ball with a second left, and it somehow lands on 5 in regulation. Just incredible. And they would have been favored in the semifinals and had a good shot to go to the finals where, yeah, there would have been a big dog to High Point. You know, Winthrop, who beat Charleston Southern on Friday, ends up going to the final instead of Charleston Southern and actually had a lead or was pretty competitive. I think they had a lead at some point on Sunday against High Point. I was thinking, man, this would sting even more if Winthrop ends up winning the whole thing. But those are 30-1, 31 for a reason. It would have been nice to get them into the semis and maybe into the finals, but just a brutal way to lose it. But big picture from college hoops, I just continue to say what I've always said, and I feel like I'm a broken record here, but just reacting to the weekend of college hoops, come away with the same takeaways. The best teams are really good, and the bubble is so soft, and I think we're down to 4 teams that can win it all. I'd be really surprised, if not shocked, if it's not Duke, Florida, Arizona, and Michigan. You have to ding UConn at some point. I know even in a down year last year, they had impressive showing in the tournament. Maybe this idea that they get out of Big East play and they hit another gear or they're bored, maybe. But they just have too many of these performances like they had Saturday against Marquette. An awful performance. They lose the Big East. St. John's wins it outright. For people that had bets on that, man, you just that's a tough one. 15-point favorite to Creighton a couple weeks back. And then a 9.5-point favorite against Marquette. You lose both of them. Where if you win both of them, you win it outright. If you win one of them, you get the split or the dead heat. Just absolutely brutal. But I think it's those four. I think it's those four that are going to win it. I saw a prop, and I think Florida will get the final one seed now. Minus 200 for a one seed to win the conference tournament. I think that's a pretty good bet. I'd be, again, pretty surprised, if not shocked, if it's not one of those four teams in the bubble. The bubble, 9 bubble teams, according to Lenardi, were in action on Saturday, either in or out among the last, like, you know, handful of teams either way. 0-9, Cincy, SMU, Texas, Missouri, you just go down the line. Awful. Off the bubble's just so bad. Anyone that's screaming on Selection Sunday, and we'll be doing the show a week from now talking about who got snubbed, nobody's getting snubbed this year. If you get left out, you know what, you didn't deserve to make it. I don't care who you are. The bubble is so bad. It's hard to feel bad for any of these teams. So the bubble continues to be weaker and weaker. The top teams continue to look stronger and stronger. And Another thing that I think is going to hurt upsets here before we get to Jeff. A lot of upsets in these conference tournaments, and the conference tournaments have been fun. Queens, we had last year 50-1. Isn't it fitting they turn around and win it this year and almost blew it? They were up 8 with like a minute left. They almost had a Charleston Southern-like collapse, and they did blow the lead. It went to overtime, but they won it again in overtime. Navy, I'm not sure if you saw that, who was the one seed, very heavily favored in their conference tournament. Tie game, they score with a couple seconds left to go up by 2. The clock doesn't stop in time. Boston University hits a 3 from just beyond half court, and Boston U wins it by 1. But a lot of upsets in these conference tournaments. St. Thomas, UNC Wilmington, who lost pretty convincingly in their conference, the CAA. Charleston was the 2 seed in the CAA. They're out. The more of these you get, Belmont was a 1 seed. They got buried on Friday. The more of these upsets you get in the conference tournament, the weaker the 13, 12, 14, those type of teams are. And the more likely it is these 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds all roll in the tournament. So one last thing before we get to Jeff. Conference title game under is usually a good trend. I would at least split your bet, if not just go first half, because the 3, recording this before the fourth one on Sunday night, the Summit. The first 3 on Sunday afternoon, the Missouri Valley was a dead over. I mean, that soared over. That was over. You know, basically, they got 75% of the points they needed by halftime, and that was lined at 123 or 4. And they had like 88 points at halftime, just incredible. So that was a dead over. The other 2 were way under at half, but you get so many fouls in these conference tournaments, especially if you get in that range, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 points. There's just, they start fouling, they foul early, they'll foul late. I saw it was UNC Wilmington was down 15 fouling with like 40 seconds left. These teams just don't want to admit they lost. They don't want their season to end. So that can really burn the full game under, so maybe better off sticking with the first half under. So those would be the takeaways. Got a bunch of title games on Monday. A little bit of a slower day Monday. Monday, you've got 1 game at 2 o'clock Eastern. You still got a bunch of games at night. And then Tuesday, it picks up a little bit. And then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, good luck. Just call out of work if you want to watch these games and bet these games. Find some time, because there's just, it's nonstop. It's unrelenting. If you love basketball, it's 3 of the best days of the year. This Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so many conference tournaments in action. Slows down a little bit Saturday. It's still great. You have the anticipation of the tournament. Sunday's a fun day, even though the games are a little slower. And then obviously rolls into the tournament in a week or so. So fun time of the year. We'll see what Jeff Parles thinks about this and much more. That is next. This Should Have Been More podcast. All right, Should Have Been More podcast. We are back. One of our favorite guests, ESPN Las Vegas. It is Jeff Parles. Jeff, thanks for coming on. We have a lot to get to. This is a great time of the year. But before we started, you have a very controversial statement. You are not a fan of daylight savings time. You don't like losing the hour of sleep. Is this really how you feel?
Yeah. But also, again, I have to preface this, because you and I were talking a little bit before the show about this, and I think where I live kind of impacts it. Where, Will, you're obviously on the East Coast. You guys have had, because all my family's there except for me, you guys have had the worst winter I can ever remember, at least from an outsider's perspective. So I get it from your end. Like, all right, you know, when I get a little more sunlight, the snow's going to start disappearing, the weather's going to get a little bit better. I get it from your perspective. Out here, I don't like losing the hour of sleep, especially on a day like this. I mean, look, we're recording this on Sunday. Like, the poor kids in the Missouri Valley who that tournament game final has been moved up, they're playing 11 a.m. game for the tournament today. Like, that stinks for them on 1 hour less of sleep, because the Big Ten women's tournament is now in the old Missouri Valley slot, at least on CBS. But for me also too, and you know what, this is a me problem, Will. And this is I love our house that my wife and I have, but one of the only flaw of the house, and I know, yes, Jeff, go fix this. There is a window above our shower that is directly on my side of the bed. So the light coming in an hour earlier is not good for that, Will. So I guess I know I have ways to get around that. I have my eye mask. I know I can put something up there, but that's just a me issue. And again, I'm someone who likes their sleep. So that's just me, Will. I'm anti anti-changing the clocks, period. Like, just let's pick one and go with it. I actually do prefer this date, the daylight savings time over the standard time, but that's just me. But look, at some point the federal government will give up either daylight savings time or standards time, but they have they've only taken forever to do that, Will.
All right, we a lot of takes on the record there, which is interesting. Let's get to college hoops. Before we get to these conference tournaments, and we've got odds for a bunch of them going on now, but a bunch still to come, and this is about as good as any week of the year. If you like sports, if you like betting, there are just games on all the time. It's unbelievable. I think we're down to four teams that can win it all. Maybe you felt like that before. UConn, they're too inconsistent to really see them winning six in a row. Arizona, Florida, Michigan, and Duke, probably the 4-1 seeds. I'd be shocked if one of those four teams isn't holding up the trophy a month from now. Would you agree, disagree with any of that?
Five. I'll throw Houston in there as well. I think those are the five. I think those four number ones that you just mentioned, Duke, Michigan, Arizona, and Florida, who should be the fourth number one. And then I do give Houston a shot because I think, Will, the way that the bracket, I think, is going to slice down now, and I think this is completely unfair for Florida, who's going to be the number one seed in the South. Those games are in Houston, Texas. And the Cougars are not the hosts of that regional semi and final, and they can go there. So Houston essentially playing home games in the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight would give them a big-time opportunity to take out Florida. And I think the committee will probably do that when it's all said and done. So those are the five for me. The five are the four projected ones, assuming that Florida moves ahead of UConn. In the bracket, which I think they should, unless if Florida loses their first game in Nashville and UConn wins the Big East tournament. And even then, I'm not sure if Florida still should be behind UConn, especially that loss yesterday on Saturday to Marquette was an abomination for the Huskies. Like, you can't lose that team. That Marquette team's awful. I don't care that that's not an easy place to play. You can't lose that game. But I'm down to five. I think it's those five, the Michigan, Duke, Arizona, Florida, and Houston. And, well, I actually think that Arizona is the best team, but I do not trust Tommy Lloyd at all. So I think it's going to probably be, like, Duke's the betting favorite. That would probably be my pick at the moment, draw dependent. But who likes picking chalk in March Madness, especially after last year when we had all four number ones make the Final Four?
Do you have a pecking order among the top four? And I kind of agree. Arizona's the team that's kind of getting in, based on the odds, they're not a sleeper or anything, obviously, but almost hiding in plain sight, where Florida's the flavor of the month. Everyone thinks Duke is probably the best team now. Michigan's been the best team most of the year. And then you have Arizona, who's been just as dominant as anyone, just about, but everything that's happened in the tournament. So I don't know. Do you think those four teams, I think you can kind of throw a blanket over the four. It just depends on the day and the matchup. Any of the four, any one of those four can beat any of the other three, but how do you feel about it?
I think, you know, I've been from the day that I was in attendance here in Vegas, when Michigan just ran Gonzaga, forget all, out of the building. They ran them out of the country, basically.
Night before Thanksgiving,
yeah,
right?
With how badly they destructed them. I couldn't get that out of my head. But that Kaysen injury is so big for Michigan, because I don't trust Elliot Cadeau for six straight games as the primary ball handler in that team all the way through. And I was, before the Kaysen injury, it was all Michigan for me. I actually have Michigan third of those teams now. I have Duke slightly ahead of it. I just think Duke, when it's all said and done, is the most trustworthy because Boozer's the best player of those five teams. But Arizona's so good. And the one thing that's interesting, and Jay Williams made this point yesterday on College Game Day, and I think he's completely wrong. I think I completely agree with what he's saying, but in the opposite direction. Arizona's built to withstand a bad shooting game from the outside because they don't shoot a lot of threes. And I think that's a pretty, like, important thing in this tournament. They're built to beat you from the inside, unlike every other team, basically, in college basketball, where they're going to need the three. Look, if you have a bad shooting game in March, you probably aren't going to survive it against the high-end team. That's just the nature of the tournament. But I think the way Arizona plays, that they are the best to withstand a bad shooting game because they are so interior based as opposed to everyone else who just has such a big portion of their game on the perimeter. But again, I just think when it's all said and done, Duke is still number one in the pecking order because of Boozer. He's the best player in this tournament. He's the most trustworthy player in this tournament. Of course, you can get a game where he gets in foul trouble and they get screwed. Like, that can happen to anyone. It's the NCAA tournament. But I would go Duke 1, Arizona 2, Michigan 3, Florida 4, Houston 5 of those five teams that I mentioned to you, Will.
Let's go conference tournaments here. Yep. And you could just give me a thought on each one. You could pass. We can go through these pretty quickly or as long as you want here. Duke minus 350 in the ACC, Virginia 750, Louisville 9-1, Miami 20-1, UNC 22-1, Clemson 40-1. Probably draw a line there.
I mean,
any interest in betting any of these, or this is just Duke and it's not worth laying the 350?
Look, Duke's got two key players not playing in this tournament either. So you see minus 350, that's like, whoa, that is a monster number. But they're way better than everyone else. The only conference loss they had was that fluky game at UNC where, look, it's the biggest rivalry in college sports. It was in a Dean Dome. Ridiculous things can happen, and ridiculous things did happen in their one conference loss. And, I mean, they were up 18 in the Texas Tech loss, Will. Like, they were – I don't think people appreciate how close Duke really was to being undefeated going into this ACC tournament here. So they're the rightful favorite. It's a big favorite. The only – team I think I'd be willing to take a shot on is Miami, just because they play a very annoying style to play against. And Lucas obviously was on that staff last year with Shire. He's one of his top assistants. But I don't know if 20-1 is a big enough number, as crazy as that may sound, for a team with a double bye in the ACC tournament. But I think that's the only one. Virginia, we already saw that game 2 weeks ago, and Duke just clobbered them. I hate this Louisville team when Brown's not healthy. They're just not trustworthy. Carolina with Wilson done. I cannot wait to take the 11 or 10 seed or 12 seed against North Carolina, whoever it is, in round one outright against UNC. I just hate how that team is coached. I think Hubert is a terrible head coach. But Miami's the only one that I would look here. But Duke's going to win this tournament even at the minus 350 price. Being a little bit outlandish with the key players not playing in this tournament.
A-10, St. Louis, the short shot, plus 125, VCU plus 180. There's a team here that interests you. Can you tell me who it is?
Yeah, and I'm curious by the time that this is live if this number is still there. And I got to give Step on a Duck on the tweets, Action Network, the credit on this because he pointed this out on Saturday night. And I'm kind of stunned the number didn't move as we speak on Monday morning on DraftKings. George Mason is 50-1, who, look, I understand they've not been good down the stretch, but they've beaten all the top teams in this league, and they just destroyed SLU on Saturday. 50-1 is too big of a price. Now, am I saying they're going to win the tournament? No, but that price is just too large, and I would take a sliver of it if you have DK available in your state. I would take a shot on that at 50-1. I tell you this, Will, I think SLU's got to get to the final of this tournament to make sure that they're not really sweating on Selection Sunday. And as ridiculous as that may seem to some for a team that has been dominant all year long, they have not played well down the stretch. And look, we know how the committee hates these smaller conference teams. If they lose to the winner of Fordham and GW, they're going to have a very uncomfortable Selection Sunday. Like, they could get left out, and they could be like, our attention's been on Miami of Ohio. Like, SLU could be the one that gets screwed by the committee. I don't think they should. I think they're legitimate. I think they should still be on the 8-9 line, even though they're probably falling down to the 10 line at this point. But they got to go on a deep run. My pick's VCU. I just don't think the price is good enough, Will. I was hoping they were going to be like plus 250. They're about plus 180 is the best. Plus 180, plus 190 is the best price I've seen. I think VCU wins the tournament, but George Mason's the best bet at 50-1. They're the best bet.
So let's see. Let's take a look here. And you said a lot of interesting things there. Let's take a look at the bracket. So this bracket, they put all 14 teams in.
Yep.
So George Mason would get the winner of 12-13 St. Bonnie. And then if they win that, they get Dayton in what would be, I guess, the quarterfinals. So they've got to win four games in 4 days.
Yeah.
The path, let's just call it LaSalle, then Dayton, and then either St. Louis and probably St. Louis in the semifinals, barring an upset. Is that that path? You still think 50-1 that's doable with the four games in 4 days?
Yeah, I mean, now that you bring it up a little bit, I know that there are a lot of people on gambling Twitter who will yell at you to take the roll of a parlay. I think it probably still will probably be better at 50-1 than what it will be. I'm just curious how big of an underdog they would be against SLU, and that would be the biggest one. The bottom of the bracket, look, at the bottom of the bracket, it's a good draw for VCU. That's all I'll just say, Will. Like, if you want to take VCU, now that I'm talking through it a little bit more, if you want to take VCU at the prices that are available, you probably can do it because they're not going to be a 2-1 underdog against SLU if they're in the final against the Bills, and they're going to be favored against George Mason or Dayton. So actually, now that I talk it through, that VCU bet might not be a terrible bet, even at the number that feels a little short, Will. But yeah, look, I think George Mason's going to be a favorite over the winner of LaSalle and Bonnie's. I think they're better than Dayton. And then look, they just pounded SLU. I still think that path is doable. It's just that if they have to play VCU in that fourth game, that is always a difficult matchup when you played a bunch of games in a row with the style VCU plays.
The thing with St. Louis being on the bubble, though, the bubble is so weak, and I'm sure you saw this stat.
It's weak
according
every
to Lunardi,
year, Will. But yesterday
not
was
like this,
especially
though.
Awful for the bubble teams.
Not all, nine bubble teams in action on Saturday. They all lost.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. Auburn, A&M, SMU, Missouri. A&M didn't, but Texas, Missouri. You go down the line, they all lost. So I just don't know, and I think Lunardi has – St. Louis is like an 8 seed right now. It would be hard, I would think, for them to fall completely out of the tournament.
I'm not
it?
Saying it's right, Will. I think they have no sweat. I think that they should be at worst an 8 seed, just off how they like. They Will. Sometimes I understand like the committee has to go off the numbers, but like sometimes you just have to use your logic and your eye test. Like SLU is a clear like 7 or 8 seed to me. So. They're going to get in. But again, I just know how much this committee despises putting in these good mid-majors unless they absolutely have to. So, but like you look at the bubble, like the fact that Auburn like is looked at as a team that could potentially still be in is a joke. They stink, and they're going to be like if they lose, they're 500 if they lose their first game in Nashville. Like it's a joke they're even on the bubble. But look, here's the problem for like everyone else. Like look at these bubble teams. Like I think Cal, Stanford, San Diego State, New Mexico, like Indiana stinks. Va Tech's the 9 seed in the mediocre ACC tournament. Stanford's the 10. Like, the tournament's too big, and it's only going to be bigger next year, Will.
Big 12, Arizona is odds on at minus 105. Then you have Houston, 220, Iowa State, 750, Kansas, 8-1. Everyone else, 13-1 or longer. Anyone you would take a shot on, you know, Cincinnati 45-1, TCU 60. Wow, BYU 150-1. Is there a bet to be made there?
BYU's got to play from the 10 seed, Will. So they got to win, and even they have to win 5-5, which is just not happening in that league because that league is just that good. The only look I would go at here would be if you want to take a shot on either TCU or Kansas. On the bottom of that bracket, you can. Kansas is one of the more fascinating teams this March to me because I actually think, like, I know I said 5 earlier. If I had a 6th team, I actually would say the Jayhawks as the 6th team that could potentially win the title because Darren Peterson is the most even though I've said Boozer's the best player in the country, Peterson's the most talented player in the country. I don't think there's any argument on that. It's just a matter of will he be out there at the right times or not. And they also beat Arizona without him this year, Will. So they're really interesting. I could also see Kansas losing in the round of 32. Like, that's more than possible also. But their ceiling is extraordinarily high because they can play with or without Peterson. That makes them intriguing. I just don't know how much they're going to care about this tournament even though it's basically home games in Kansas City for them. TCU at 60-1 is really interesting. They're on the road. They're fine. They're going to make the NCAA tournament. They played some great ball the last 6 months, or 6 weeks, I should say. 60-1 on TCU would be, and Kansas at 8-1, 9-1 would be the only shots I take. Arizona's the right favorite, though.
One that's getting a lot of attention just because Miami, Ohio, who I don't think has anything to worry about. Maybe you feel differently. But Akron is odds on here, which is weird to see when you have a team that's undefeated in the conference. But we know, you know, the computers don't really like Miami, Ohio. Akron minus 115, Miami, Ohio plus 190. Toledo and everybody else is 15-1 or longer. Is there a bet to be made here?
I don't know who's been more annoying with this Miami of Ohio thing. The Power 5 or Power 4 snobs, or the bettors who keep yelling at me that they should not be favored in this tournament, which I actually agree. Like, I have no problem with Akron being the favorite. Like, Akron's unbelievable. Like, those two teams went a combined 35-1 in conference this year, Will. Like, those two teams are both really good. And, yeah, I know, like, they're like, oh, Miami, Ohio's lucky. They're really a five-loss team that had all – I don't care. You know how hard it is to go 31-0 in college basketball? Like, regardless of league, like, you know how hard it is to do this, what they've done? They absolutely should be in. I think they should be an 8 seed at worst, Will. I think if they complete the undefeated season, they should be on the 7 or 6 line. I think they're probably peaking as an 8 seed. If they lose in this tournament, I think they'll be a 10, which I guess, you know what, in the end, 10 over 7 upsets happen all the time, but we'll see. I'm concerned about Miami Ohio's defense against a rematch against Akron. Like, that's my biggest concern in this game. Like, I don't think Miami of Ohio's defense is really any good. I think their offense and, like, Peter Setter's a really fun player to watch. Right favorite in Akron, I'm not going to take anything. The only thing I'll say is, if you like Miami of Ohio to win this tournament, just take it now, because they're going to be an underdog against Akron, but they're not going to be that price. Like, it's going to be like Akron's going to be like a 2-point favorite, a 2.5-point favorite at most in that game. So, if you like Miami of Ohio, I take it pre-tournament. I'm not touching it, Will. I actually do think Akron's gonna win the rematch, and the Miami of Ohio will be in the NCAA tournament with not even having to go to Dayton, and this whole nonsense will be just manufactured garbage from people.
All right, last couple. Mountain West, Utah State is the short shot plus 230. Then you have San Diego State plus 320. Grand Canyon 5-1. Boise State plus 550. New Mexico 7-1, Nevada 18-1, Colorado State, JVT. I had Jonathan Montoble on Friday, and he talked about Colorado State being an interesting sleeper because of their pace. They can make threes. They shoot a lot of threes. I'd be interested in Colorado State at 25-1. What are your thoughts in terms of a bet that you would make here and the at-large teams, the at-large scenarios here for these Mountain West teams?
Utah State's the only team that's definitely in the NCAA tournament as of this moment in my eyes, Will. Now, New Mexico, I think, should be in the NCAA tournament. I think they're a really good team. I think they're really well coached. But the loss to Utah State last night, where they had a real shot to win that game, is a killer. Because if New Mexico has a win in Logan, New Mexico, I think, is like, with how bad the bubble teams have been recently, I think it would be just win one game in the Mountain West tournament, you're probably in. Beat San Diego State in the semifinals, and then you're definitely in. You don't even have to win the final, regardless of who it is. I don't think that price is good enough on Colorado State. I just don't trust them enough. I think if UNLV ended up in a different part of the bracket, I actually would be a little bit intrigued at 75-1. But I just don't see them winning three games where the first game is Utah State, they have to win four games, and the second game is Utah State. And they also played Wyoming in their first game, and Wyoming clobbered UNLV the first time they played, the only time they played each other this year. I think the bet is New Mexico, Will, at 7-1. I think that's the bet. Even though their draw isn't the best, like, their draw is not the best. Like, they do have to play, they're the three, they have to play a Boise State team that's better than their record shows, and Boise won in Albuquerque this year. But 7-1 feels like a pretty darn good price. That would be my bet if I'm taking anything with New Mexico. Utah State's the only safe team. I think San Diego State needs to win the conference tournament to get in. I think New Mexico needs to make the final to make sure they get in, even though they could still get screwed if they lose the final.
SEC, Florida, who is just a complete force right now. Actually, didn't cover on Saturday, depending on when you got the numbers. That opened 7.5, it closed 5.5, and it landed right in the middle on 7. Kentucky making a late surge to get the early bets home on them. Florida minus 180, is it just as simple as them? You have the numbers in front of you. Anyone you would take a shot on in the SEC?
Just looking bracket-wise here, you know, Kentucky is such a weird team for me this year, Will, because I see all that talent and they're just so average. But they also are the 9 seed, and I think Missouri has to beat Kentucky to make sure that they're not like something weird doesn't happen to them with that inexplicable loss to Arkansas without Acuff yesterday. There's no good prices in this league, Will. There's no good prices. I can't bet on Arkansas at 6-1 because if you're Arkansas and Acuff's not 100%, like, you got to be careful with him this week. Because that's another team, I think, with the right draw in the NCAA tournament that Arkansas could make a run to the Elite Eight. Because Acuff is that good. The problem with them is they just don't have a ton of depth if they have, like, a bad foul trouble game. Alabama plus 850 is intriguing because I think their road to get to the final is actually pretty good because they're way better than Georgia or Texas, assuming that Texas handles their business against Ole Miss. And they're way better against if Acuff's not 100%, like, they should be able to handle Arkansas. And A&M, I don't think A&M's any good at all. Like, they're going to make the tournament, but I think they're terrible at this point. Like, that's a pretty routine run to the final for a plus 850 at Alabama for Alabama. So, like, if you want to take a non-Florida, Alabama's the one at plus 850, Will. I know there's questions on Filon's health still, even though he's returned, but that's the only thing I'd consider. That's actually a pretty good price. I don't think they win the tournament because I think Florida just steamrolls through everybody at this point, but that is a really good price if you want to take a shot on Bama.
Any other conference tournaments jump out to you? Any of these prices that we haven't mentioned that you have thoughts on?
You want to go real weird for a second here, Will?
Please.
For one that may be off the beaten path. The Big West, which is a tournament that's here in the Vegas area. It's in Henderson. UC Irvine is really good again, Will. This is a few years running where the winner of this conference, I thought, like, remember last year that was UC San Diego? They should have beat Michigan. They got completely screwed by the refs. The best player, Jones, got fouled out on complete nonsense. And they were down big in the game, and they still almost won the game. And if they had won, they would have beat Texas A&M in the round of 32 and been the only double-digit team in the Sweet 16. UC Irvine is capable of that type of run in the NCAA tournament, but the problem for them is that there's a really good Hawaii team in this tournament. That is one of the more intriguing mid-major tournaments this year because of the strength of those two teams. I don't want to sound like a jerk on this. I think this has been the weakest year of Ken Pom's rankings by margin. I don't know why. I've disagreed more with him this year than I have in a very long time. I think Bart Torvik's ratings have been significantly better this year. To give a shout out to one of your VEASAN comrades, I think GP's numbers have been much better and much more solid this year than Ken Pom's numbers. I think it's wild to me that Irvine's not a top 100 team. Hawaii's behind UC San Diego, which UC San Diego's really good, but I think Hawaii is better this year. So you know what? If UC San Diego upsets Hawaii, like, UC San Diego against UC Irvine's a really good game in the Big West final. I think that's a conference tournament people need to be paying attention to. For potential round one of the NCAA tournament upset quality, whether it's Irvine, Hawaii, and you know what? Again, I don't think UC San Diego is anywhere near as good as they were a year ago, obviously, but they are capable of pulling off an upset in round one. So that's the intrigue. My bet would be Irvine. Like, you're getting plus 165, which is a pretty good price on a one seed that I think is overly strong in that league. So that would be my bet there. But if it's Irvine or Hawaii, especially one of those two, that's a team I don't want to see if I'm a four seed or a five seed, depending on where they end up. I mean, they may end up on the 14 line too, Will, which I think would be a little bit crazy. But you and I both know there's upsets that happen in these smaller tournaments that knock down teams that are on the 13 line, the 12 line, when it's all said and done.
Where do you come down on the World Baseball Classic? Some people say this is the greatest thing ever. All these players, it's better than winning the World Series, which I think is way overboard. Some people look at it as just it's an exhibition. It's too early. It's March. You should be watching college basketball. We're not trained for it. I'm kind of in between, but more the latter. Where do you come down on it?
I do not care at all. And I texted a buddy of mine who's a radio host in a top 25 market. The other day, and I asked him, does anyone, and they're in a huge baseball market too. And I asked him, like, does anyone care? And he's like, no. And I'm like, if that market doesn't care, how is the rest of this, the rest of us going to care? Now, look, I saw what Kike Hernandez said, and look, I'm not going to tell a player how to feel. Like, I get it. And people say this about the Olympics, like, when your country is across your chest, it's a different feeling. So, like, I'm not going to discount how the players feel on this. But from my perspective, the only thing I've noticed so far with this tournament, and when I've just checked in, I've barely watched any of it. I actually, the game I watched the most was the Great Britain-Mexico game, because I was like, how are the Brits ahead in this game? And then the Brits were ahead in the fifth inning against the Americans on Saturday until the fifth. Until the British pitching fell apart. But the only thing I've noticed from afar is Mark DeRosa should never be a major league manager because his lineup construction is idiotic. That's my only takeaway from this, Will. And I know it's an exhibition. Like, in the end, like, it's kind of hard when you get these super teams. But he's had the wrong guy in the two-hole every single game. Like, Bregman in the two-hole against Great Britain. Bregman should be batting eighth in this lineup. that's my biggest takeaway. Like, I think even in the exhibitions, I think his lineup construction has been dreadful, which makes me think he should never be a major league manager for a guy who we've heard his name be up a lot to be a major league manager. So that's my biggest takeaway, Will, that Mark DeRosa's lineup construction is horrendous. I think Japan, I know Japan struggled even though they won against Taiwan yesterday. But I still expect Japan to win these games. They always find a way against the U.S. In these World Baseball Classic games. But I don't really care, Will. I don't care. Just get us to the regular season in 2.5 weeks at this point. Because as you and I have kind of talked about in the past, I think, yeah, the Dodgers are clearly the best team. But this is as good a depth as we've had from about 2 to 7 as we've had in a while in baseball, and that should make it a great regular season and a very interesting postseason if the Dodgers can get beat.
We'll do more baseball in the coming weeks. I hate the fact that they put it on opening day against the Sweet 16. To me, it's idiotic. Wait till April.
Well, there are some things that baseball just can't get out of their own way on, and that is one of them. Putting it against the Sweet 16 is really stupid. But the one good thing for them is that Paul Skeens at the Mets game, and that is a national TV game, is at least early enough in the day that you're not going to be really competing with the Sweet 16 games, which is good for baseball because that game will be on big NBC. That should get a lot of eyeballs, Will.
That'll be fun. What time is that game? Is that a 1 o'clock Eastern game?
I think it's a 3. I think it's a weird start time.
That'll be
part
fun.
Of that. Hold on. I'm double-checking it. It's either 3 or – let's see. March. Oh, no, it is a 1:15. Okay, good job, baseball. That is a good move. You got the Mets against Paul Skeens at 1 o'clock on a national TV game. That's perfect.
All right, last one. What is of the 30 major league teams? What is the one team you have the most conviction on? Like, they're going to be way better than people think, way worse than people think. Who would you go with?
Oh, this is such a difficult question, Will. This is such a difficult question because there are two ways to go this way on this. Because I think everyone has overrated Seattle badly. I think the Mariners are very overrated going into this year. But I then look at the AL West, and obviously, the Angels are a joke. The A's were better, but they're still, I think next year's the year for the future Las Vegas A's. But do you really trust Houston without true frontline starting pitching anymore? Or do you trust Texas with a lineup that I have a lot of questions on to catch the Mariners? And that's my problem with the fate of Seattle this year, is I don't really trust the teams behind them in the AL West, even though I think the Mariners are vastly overrated going into this year, Will. I don't think the lineup's quite as good as people think. I don't think that the pitching is excellent, but I don't think that pitching is as elite as some think it is. So I think the Mariners, I just wish I trusted the teams behind them in the division. That if I really trusted Texas to win the AL West, I'd be saying Seattle's the team I'd look to fade. But I don't trust them enough. On the positive side, it's funny because it's the same argument against a lot of teams we have. Like, I don't trust Baltimore's pitching, but that lineup is awesome, Will. And that division, now, I wonder for Toronto if that was just their shot and they missed it. Like, if they just missed their one shot to win the title. The Yankees, the Yankees pitching is really good. But after Judge, is that lineup any good at all? like that's my big question with them. And they're like, you know this better than me, Will. They are so injury prone, that whole team, that if and Judge is injury prone also. Like if Judge gets hurt, they're in big trouble this go around. Like I don't know if their offense is good enough to withstand that. The Red Sox lineup I don't think is that good. Their pitching is vastly improved. But I just don't trust Ranger Suarez long term. So I think Baltimore is the one team that's a little undervalued. I know you brought them up when Alonso signed. But they're the one undervalued team that I think is going to be better than people think. Playoff team, could win the American League altogether. I just don't know if they're built to win the NL champion, whether it's the Dodgers or if one of those other top teams, the Phillies, the Cubs, the Braves, the Mets, any of those teams are able to do it. Oh, also, too, I have to bring this up, too. I think the Phillies are much worse than their number is, because I think they're aging. I think they're going the wrong way, Will. And Atlanta is the ultimate. Now, I'm not as high on them as others, but Atlanta's the ultimate positive regression team, right? They've had two horrendous injury years in a row. Last year, it took them out of the playoffs. If they got their guys back maybe 3 weeks earlier, they probably would have ended up with the sixth seed in the NL with how badly that race ended up being, with how badly the Mets collapsed and the Reds just not being that good. But the Phillies are the other one I look to fade. Phillies and Mariners look to fade. Orioles are the one I look to buy going in here.
Jeff, you're the best, man. Where can we find you?
Cofield and Company. I don't know which days I'll be on this week yet. So check out the social media at Jeff Parles to see when I'll be on. Cofield and Company, 6 to 9 Eastern, 3 to 6 Pacific, for anyone that's interested out there.
Always fun, man. Appreciate it.
Of course, Will.
All right, rate, review, subscribe. Thanks to Jeff Parles. See you on Wednesday. Talk to you then.